ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ ईशावास्यम् ईशावास्यम् इदं सर्वम् इदं सर्वम् यत्किञ्च जगत्यां जगत् यत्किञ्च जगत्यां जगत् तेन त्यक्तेन भुञ्जीथाः तेन त्यक्तेन भुञ्जीथाः मा गृधः कस्य स्वधनम् मा गृधः कस्य स्वधनम् कुर्वन्नेवेह कर्माणि कुर्वन्नेवेह कर्माणि जिजीविषेच्छतगं समाः जिजीविषेच्छतगं समाः एवं त्वयि
एवं त्वयि
नान्यथेतोऽस्ति
नान्यथेतोऽस्ति
न कर्म लिप्यते नरे
लिप्यते नरे
असूया नाम ते लोकाः
असूयामते लोकाः
अन्धेन तमसा वृताः
अन्धेन तमसा
वृताः तांस्ते प्रेत्याभिगच्छन्ति
तांस्ते
प्रेत्याभिगच्छन्ति ये केचात्महनो जनाः
चात्महनो
जनाः अनेजदेकम्
अनेजदेकम्
मनसो जवीयः
मनसो जवीयः
नैनद्देवा आप्नुवन्
नैनद्देवा
आप्नुवन् पूर्वमर्षत्
पूर्वमर्षत्
तद्धावतोऽन्यानत्येति धावतोऽन्यानत्येति तिष्ठत्तस्मिन्नपो
तिष्ठत्तस्मिन्नपो
मातरिष्वादधाति
मातरिष्वादधाति
तदेजति
तदेजति
तन्नैजति
तन्नैजति
तद्दूरे
తద్దూరే
తద్వంతికే
తద్వంతికే
తదంతరస్య
తదంతరస్య
సర్వస్య
సర్వస్య
తదూ
సర్వస్యాస్య సర్వస్యాస్య
బాహ్యతః
బాహ్యతః
యస్తు సర్వాణి భూతాని
యస్తు సర్వాణి భూతాని
ఆత్మన్యేవానుపశ్యతి
ఆత్మన్యేవానుపశ్యతి
సర్వభూతేషు చాత్మానం
సర్వభూతేషు చాత్మానం
తతో న విజుగుప్సతే
తతో న విజుగుప్సతే
యస్మిన్ సర్వాణి భూతాని
యస్మిన్ సర్వాణి భూతాని
ఆత్మైవాభూత్
ఆత్మైవాభూత్
విజానతః
విజానతః
తత్ర కో మోహః
తత్ర కో మోహః
కశోకః
శోకః
ఏకత్వమనుపశ్యతః
ఏకత్వమనుపశ్యతః
సపర్యగాచ్ఛుక్రం
సపర్యగాచ్ఛుక్రం
అకాయమవ్రణం
అకాయమవ్రణం
అస్నావిరగం
అస్నావిరగం
శుద్ధమపాపవిద్ధం
శుద్ధమపాపవిద్ధం
కవిర్మనీషీ పరిభూ స్వయంభూః యాథాతథ్యతోర్థాన్ వ్యదధాత్ శాశ్వతీభ్యః సమాభ్యః అంధం తమః ప్రవిశంతి యే అవిద్యాముపాసతే
యే అవిద్యాముపాసతే తతో
భూయైవ తే
తతో భూయైవ తే
తమో
తమో
య ఉ
య ఉ
విద్యాయాగం రతాః
విద్యాయాగం రతాః
అన్యదేవాహుః
అన్యదేవాహుః
విద్యయా
విద్యయా
అన్యదాహుర విద్యయా
అన్యదాహుర విద్యయా
ఇతి శుశ్రుమ
ఇతి శుశ్రుమ
ధీరాణాం
ధీరాణాం
యేనస్తద్
యేనస్తద్
విచచక్షిరే
విచచక్షిరే
విద్యాంచ
విద్యాంచ
అవిద్యాంచ
అవిద్యాంచ
యస్తద్వేద
యస్తద్వేద
ఉభయగుంసః
ఉభయగుంసః
అవిద్యయా
అవిద్యయా
మృత్యుం తీర్త్వా
మృత్యుం తీర్త్వా
విద్యయా
విద్యయా
అమృతమశ్నుతే
అమృతమశ్నుతే
అంధం తమః ప్రవిశంతి
అంధం తమః ప్రవిశంతి
యే అసంభూతిముపాసతే
అసంభూతిముపాసతే
తతో భూయ ఇవతే
తతో భూయ ఇవతే
తమో
తమో
య ఉ
య ఉ
సంభూత్యామృతాః
సంభూత్యామృతాః
అన్యదేవాహుః
అన్యదేవాహుః
సంభవాద్
సంభవాద్
అన్యదాహుర సంభవాద్
అన్యదాహుర సంభవాద్
ఇతి శుశ్రుమధీరాణాం
ఇతి శుశ్రుమధీరాణాం
ఏనస్తద్
ఏనస్తద్
విచచక్షిరే
విచచక్షిరే
So we have covered elaborate discussion on Jnana Yoga. It was briefly discussed in the first mantra. In six mantras, from the third to the eighth, thereafter we started seeing the elaboration of karma, the part of karma, a karma yoga, from the 9th mantra. And in first 3 mantras, we have covered the first topic of karma upasana samanchayaha. There we understood very easily, even though karma has its own result, upasana has its own result, still combining karma and upasana will produce a much better result. Therefore, we saw initially karma, upasana, independent performance of karma separately and performance of upasana separately. We saw them independent performance being condemned in the first mantra. Then we saw what is samanchaya. Samanchaya means combination, which is possible only if a ritual or upasana meditation is complete by itself, having been able to produce its own result. And we also saw how combining karma with upasana meditation gives the result also. We saw that first topic. Now we are seeing the second topic of upasana dvayasya samanchayaha. So combination of two meditations, two upasanas. Independently upasanam, each upasanam is productive. Each upasanam is capable of producing its own result. For each upasanam practiced independently also is very effective, useful. But still, samuchaya combination is emphasized here. So we are seeing the topic. Now we are seeing the 12th mantra, where the two upasanams, the names of upasanams are mentioned. You saw the upasanas here are Vyakrita Upasanam and Avyakrita Upasanam. So Vyakrita Upasanam means Hiranyagarbha Upasanam. Avyakrita Upasanam means Prakriti Upasanam. And here there are so many words, other words are also used here in the mantra in Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentary. It is better for us to be informed of all those names. So this morning we saw Sambhavatihi, feminine noun, Sambhavaha, masculine noun, and Vinashaha, another word. All these words are used to mean Hiranyagarbha, who is otherwise said to be Karyam Brahma. Why Karyam? Because it's a manifest, subtle manifestation. He is Hiranyagarbha. Then Avyakrita Upasanam means Prakriti Upasanam. The Prakriti is, you know by the term, Asambhutihi and Asambhavaha. Why? Because Prakriti, the Mula Vidya, does not have beginning, doesn't originate. Therefore, the word used is Asambhutihi, Asambhavaha. I am sure you remember the meaning of the word Sambhutihi means origination, isn't it? Okay. And we saw, and you are seeing, we saw the meaning of the 12th mantra, 13th mantra. In the 13th mantra, Angitvam is established. What does it mean? Angitva is established means each upasanam has its own result. It can be practiced independently, separately. Therefore, each upasanam has the status of being an angi. And being an angi, these two upasanams, two complete upasanams, which are capable of producing results independently, can be combined. So there is upasana dvayasya, or dvayoho upasanayoho samuchayaha is possible. That is established in the 13th mantra, which we saw. And this fact of upasanam, each and every, both upasanams being productive, being capable of producing their own results, is not verifiable for us sometimes. Therefore, we need not take it for granted, because it is authentic information which has been revealed by the acharyas who come in the unbroken lineage of teachers, Guru Parampara. This much you have seen, and we started seeing Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentary on the 13th mantra. Is it clear? Let us see the mantra now. Page number 61, we are seeing the Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentary on this 13th mantra is in following page number 61. Anyadeva.
Anyadeva.
What is anyat means? Prithak. Prithak means what? Separate. Eva ahuhu.
Eva ahuhu.
Phalam. Sambhavat. Sambhutehe.
Sambhutehe.
Karya Brahmanoho.
Karya Brahmanoho.
Okay, sorry. Karya Brahma.
Karya Brahma.
Upasanat.
Upasanat.
So what he says, Shankara Bhagavatpada mentions all the names. Karya Brahma Upasanat. Sambhutehe upasanat, sambhavasya upasanat. What does it mean? By practicing the meditation on Hiranyagarbha, by doing this Hiranyagarbha upasanam, by meditating on Hiranyagarbha, okay, by following this discipline of meditation on Hiranyagarbha. So many names are used. Sambhavat, Sambhutehe, Karya Brahma Upasanat. What is Karyam Brahma? Hiranyagarbha. Who is Karyam Brahma? Hiranyagarbha. What is Sambhuti? Hiranyagarbha. What is Sambhavaha? Hiranyagarbha. Shankaracharya mentions all these names. If you read Bhashyam, better we finish the textbook. You cannot forget any names. Isn't it? See, once you have you are committed to read the Bhashyam, and you have to read everything. Is it clear? So by this upasanam, by practicing this meditation on Hiranyagarbha, what is the phalam? The phalam, as I said in the morning, just we started and I have to stop there. The phalam is not, even though Upanishad mentions there is separate independent phalam for this upasanam, therefore it is an angi, it is complete meditation by itself, it need not be combined, but still it is better to combine. Why? To enjoy a better result. And what is that benefit? Upanishad doesn't mention, but Shankaracharya mentions in his commentary. What is the benefit there? Animadyaihi Aishwarya Lakshanam Vyakhyatavantaha Ityarthaha. So our teachers, the acharyas, people who have profound knowledge in the Shastram, they have revealed, mentioned very clearly that this practice of this upasanam gives the result. And what is the result? Attainment of Ashtamaha Siddhayaha. One can become a Siddha Purushaha. One can be endowed with eightfold occult powers, such as anima. Shankaracharya mentions the result. Upanishad does not mention the result. Result is there, it says, but what is the result is not mentioned by the Upanishad. But Shankaracharya mentions the result. What is the result? But he also does not elaborate on the result. Because it is not our tatparyam is not in attaining eightfold siddhis. So anima adyehi, and is called Aishwaryam. Accomplishment of eightfold siddhis is said to be Aishwaryam, because it gives a person the status of being the Lord. So what are those anima adyaha attamaha siddhayaha? You want to know the names, you can write down the names. Anima, garima, chaiva. Okay, anima, garima, mahima, laghima, praptihi, praptihi, prakamyam, prakamyam, ishitvam, then vashitvam. That's all. Anima, garima, chaiva, laghima, mahima, tatha, praptif, pragam, prakamyam, ishitvam, praptif, prakamyam, ishitvam, vashitvanchatta siddhayaha. It's a verse. In Sanskritam, for everything we have verse. Every definition is in the form of verse. Why? You can memorize. Read it in your good mind. You can walk cool. Why? Everything else can go here. Everything can remain in the form of thought. Okay. So here, we are going to elaborate on those things. Okay. This is the lakshana. Open up. Tatha. Actually, next sentence, tatha cha anyadahuhu asambhavat asambhutehe avyakritat avyakrita upasanat. In the mantra, the word used is only asambhavat. Asambhavaha is a name of another word meaning prakritihi. Asambhutihi, asambhavaha, prakritihi all mean the same. Asambhavat means what? From asambhava, from prakriti. Or because of prakriti, that's the meaning. So Shankaracharya makes it very clear. It's not because of prakriti, because of practice of practicing meditation on asambhuti, asambhavaha. By practicing meditation on prakriti. That's the meaning he says. And he again gives the list of all names. Asambhavat, asambhutehe, avyakritat. So avyakritam, asambhuti, asambhavaha, prakriti. All these words are synonyms. So practicing meditation on prakritihi also, there is a palam. What is the palam? Read the next sentence. Yaduktam andhantamaha pravishanti iti. Already it has been mentioned, practicing meditation on or meditating upon prakriti will result in the andhantamaha pravishanti iti. All it was mentioned. It is prakriti layaha. Prakriti layaha is the result of practicing meditation on Prakriti. Prakriti layaha iti cha pauranikaihi uchyate. And he doesn't say, I am saying. He doesn't say that. Shankara Bhagavatpada mentions in his commentary, pauranikaihi uchyate. This what is said. Prakriti layaha being the result of prakriti upasanam is said by Esna is convinced, confirmed by Pauranikaha. Pauranikaha, our ancient acharyas. Ityevam Shushruma Dhiranam Vachanam Ye Naha Tad Vichachakshire Vyakrita Avyakrita Upasana Phalam Vyakhyatavantaha Ityarthaha. So what he wants to say, our teachers have already explained this to us, that Vyakrita Avyakrita Upasanam Phalam mean Vyakrita Upasanam or Hiranyagarbha Upasanam has its own independent result. Avyakrita Upasanam, Prakriti Upasanam also has its own independent result. So our teachers already explained this. We need not have any doubts about it. Therefore, their angis, they can be combined. Isn't it? That is what is established here. Okay, we'll move on to the next mantra. Next. So now, Kevala Prithak Upasana Ninda, the condemnation of practicing Upasanam independently was mentioned. Then the two Upasanams being two Angis also have been already established. Now we are going to see what is the benefit of practicing both Upasanams together, combining them. What is the Upasana Dvayasya Samuchaya Phalam? What is the benefit? Why Upanishad says, no, why we should combine and practice? If one Upasanam, practicing one Upasanam, combining it with the other, practicing them together, should give a much better result. And what is the benefit? That is said in this 14th mantra. So, Upasana Dvayasya Prayojanam Phalam is discussed in the 14th mantra. Let us see the first sentence there. Yataha Yata Eva Evam Yata Evam Ataha. Yata Eva means because now this being so. Yata Eva means this being so. This is the reason. What is that? Hiranyagarbha Upasanam, known as Avyakrita Upasanam, is an Angi. It's a complete Upasanam. And Prakriti Upasanam, otherwise known as Avyakrita Upasanam, is also an Angi, complete Upasanam. This is therefore, Ataha, therefore, Samuchayaha. Samuchayaha Sambhuti Asambhuti Upasanayoho Yuktaha Eva Yeka Purushartatvat Cha Ityaha. So when both upasanas are combined and practiced together, definitely one can attain the result. As one goal, one result one can enjoy. What is that? We'll see here. Let us see the next mantra. Sambhutincha Vinashancha Yastadveda Ubhayagam Saha Vinashena Mrityum Tirtva Asambhutya Amrutam Ashnute. See, first of all, before we see the meaning, we have to make some corrections here. We can't correct the mantra, but we have to understand some changes here. If you see the first mantra, first line of the mantra, Sambhutincha Vinashancha. What is Sambhutihi? Sambhutihi means Hiranyagarbha. Vinashaha also means Hiranyagarbha. So Sambhutihi stands for Hiranyagarbha Upasanam. Vinashaha stands for Hiranyagarbha Upasanam. How can we combine the same Upasanam? Which means there's a small correction. The first word is what? Sambhutihi should be taken as Asambhutihi. Sambhutihi should be taken as Asambhutihi. The mantra does not have akaraha. But Shankara Bhagavatpada mentions we have to add akaraha there. So by adding akaraha, it should be changed into Asambhutihi. When you say Asambhutihi, that which doesn't have origination, means it stands for Prakritihi. Then the word Vinashaha, you know, of course Hiranyagarbha has, Hiranyagarbha becomes unmanifest also. Therefore Vinashaha literally means destruction. And Hiranyagarbha undergoes a change in terms of becoming unmanifest. Therefore, the word Vinashaha stands for Hiranyagarbha. So, Asambhutyam cha Vinasham cha. You should take it that way. Yaha tad veda ubhayagam saha. I have already explained the meaning of the word saha in previous mantras. Together. So the he who practices this meditation. Which meditation? Meditation on Prakritihi, Asambhuti Upasana or Avyakrita Upasana, and meditates on Vinashaha Hiranyagarbha. How together? He practices both Upasanas together. Asambhutim Vinashancha Yaha Tad Veda Ubhayam Saha. He who practices both Upasanas together, combining them, and what is the benefit he will have? Vinashena. Next sentence. Vinashena. Mrityum Tirtva. Mrityum Tirtva. That indeclinable participle, we have to make it, let us convert it into a verb. Vinashena Mrityum Tarati. As a result of practicing the Hiranyagarbha Upasanam, as a result of practicing Hiranyagarbha Upasanam, Vinashena means Hiranyagarbha Upasanena. Okay, the word Vinashaha stands for Hiranyagarbha. So Vinashena means what? Vinashasya Upasanena. Is it? By practicing meditation on Hiranyagarbha or Hiranyagarbha Upasanena, Mrityum Tarati, one overcomes Mrityuhu. one crosses over mrityuhu. So what does the word mrityuhu mean? We'll see that later on. Next. Tirtva, after that, next meditation. Result. So Hiranyagarbha Upasanam helps the meditator cross the mrityuhu, overcome mrityuhu. Next. There, you see the sambhutya is there. Like how you're supposed to add akaraha in the very beginning, again here also you have to add akaraha. Okay? It's not sambhutya amritam ashnute, asambhutya amritam ashnute. We're practicing asambhuti upasanam. We're practicing avyakrita upasanam. We're practicing prakriti upasanam. A person attains amritam, which means the one person who practices these two meditations, combining them together, he enjoys the results of both the upasanams. How successively? They are not enjoyed simultaneously. The results are not enjoyed simultaneously, but successively. Why? How do you know? Because that indeclinable participle which comes there in terms of tirtva itself is first a person overcomes mrityuhu, then he attains amritam. And I told you already, the word mrityuhu, already we have seen, literally it means time factor, death in the context of jnanakanda. The word mrityuhu here does not mean death. We'll see what is the meaning Shankaracharya gives. Similarly, amritam also does not mean mokshaha or immortality as in jnanakanda. In the karmakanda context, these words give different meanings. Okay. Why? Because in the highest result, the greatest result that can be accomplished by performing karma, by practicing any meditation, is attainment of Brahmalokaha or Prakriti Layaha, definitely not Mokshaha. No karma, physical, oral, mental activity, no meditation also cannot. See, I am not saying. Upanishad says, Upanishad makes it very clear, what is the highest benefit, greatest result one can accomplish by practicing meditation, by performing any ritual. Highest result is prakriti layaha. Merging in prakriti. I'll explain it anyway. Or Hiranyagarbha Praptihi, attainment of Hiranyagarbha Loka, which means attaining any loka, Shastram itself says, it is a temporary freedom, apekshika mokshaha. Because ignorance is not resolved. Even if you practice meditation, even if you perform any ritual, you can enjoy the benefit of whatever you are practicing and doing. But that does not have the capacity to resolve ajnanam. Without having ajnanam resolved, ignorance resolved, moksha is not possible. So mokshaha is not karma phalam. Moksha is not the result of action. Moksha is not the result of even meditation. Because meditation cannot result, even attainment of knowledge is not possible by practicing meditation. There are so many people in the world, they very strongly holding on to this fact, meditation will lead one to the knowledge of the truth. No, meditation cannot lead you to the knowledge of the truth. Meditation is a discipline. I told you day before, I told you yesterday, and today I'm repeating. Meditation can help you. Meditation can only prepare your mind for knowledge. Meditation is an action, mental activity. Is it? Knowledge is opposed to karma. Self-knowledge is opposed to karma. Because karma itself is product of ignorance. Therefore, meditation practiced before the attainment of knowledge can only contribute for mental preparation or mental purity and steadiness required for the attainment of jnanam. Atma Vishuddhaye, this afternoon I was doing Gita class. Now what, which chapter I was doing? Sixth chapter of Gita.
Prashantatma Vigata Bhihi Brahmachari Vrate Sthitaha.
For what meditation? Atma Vishuddhaye. Krishna states very clear. What is meditation for? Atma Vishuddhaye. Means for purification of the mind. Purification. Made very clear. Just to finish the class and I'm coming here and there. So meditation is only for the purification of the mind, not for the removal of ignorance of the truth. Meditation can be practiced after the attainment of knowledge also for assimilation of the knowledge. Remain very clear. Which means knowledge is the only means for the attainment of moksha. Knowledge itself is freedom. Self, knowledge and freedom, moksha, are identical. Because freedom is the very swarupam of the Atma. The discovery of Atma is discovery of moksha. They are identical. So, therefore, it is made very clear, doesn't matter prakriti upasanam, no, avyakrita upasanam, vyakrita upasanam, hiranyagarbha upasanam. Any upasanam you practice, what are the highest result you can have? Prakriti layaha. Or devaloka praptihi. That is that. There, no moksha, no jnana. This is the limitation of karma. Advantage of practicing upasana also we should know. What is the benefit we can have by practicing upasana we should know. At the same time, we should also know the limitation of result of meditation. What result of meditation can give, what it cannot give, must be very clear. Very clear. It's called understanding the advantage, the benefit of practicing meditation, also understanding the limitation of result of meditation, what it cannot give. If you are a mukshu, if you are a jinyasu, a moksha being ultimate goal is very clear, and you are committed to the pursuit, must be committed to the pursuit of the knowledge of the truth in terms of Atma, obtaining as your own swarupam, as the only means for moksha. Moksha jnana palam jnanam eva moksha. What about meditation? No. It is made very clear here. Vinashena mrityum tarati. So the word mrityuhu in this context does not mean death or time factor. What is mrityuhu? We are going to see Shankara Bhagavatpada gives a beautiful meaning for that. Mrityuhu here means anaishwaryam. Aishwaryam means lordship, having the status of being the lord. Aishwarya means overlordship. But Anaishwaryam means enslavement, slavery, being a slave, having the status of being the slave is Anaishwaryam. Ishwarasya bhavaha Aishwaryam. Having the status of being the Lord is Aishwaryam. So having the status of being the Lord means having mastery over. Having mastery over means not being a slave. Therefore, Anaishwaryam means freedom from enslavement, freedom from status of being a slave, slavery, freedom from slavery, freedom from limitation of powers. The Anaishwaryam. Anaishwaryam tarati. How does one becomes free from the limitations of powers? How does one become free from enslavement and slavery? By having mastery. If you have mastery, you are free from slavery. By having the lordship. How do you get lordship? Because the person is blessed with all Ashtamaha Siddhayaha. Is it? This practice of Hiranyagarbha Upasana will bless a person with Ashtamaha Siddhis. They are called attainment of Ashtamaha Siddhis is what? Attainment of Aishwaryam. Attainment of having the status of being the Lord. Having mastery over powers. Once you have mastery over powers, means you are not slave of powers. Isn't it? Vinashena mrityu taranam. Okay. Once you have powers, you are not weak. The weaknesses are not there, possible. Therefore, through the attainment of Aishwaryam, freedom from Anaishwaryam, Aishwarya Prapti Dwara Anaishwarya Nivruttihi is Mrityu Taranam. It's called overcoming Mrityu. So here, Mrityu Taranam, Mrityum Tirtva. So overcoming Mrityu means through the attainment of overlordship, freeing oneself from enslavement is Mrityu Taranam. Is it clear? Okay. When we read the Bhashyam, we will see elaborately. Now, Sambhutya, the mantra begins with Sambhutya. After Tirtva, the mantra begins with the word Sambhutya. But there also, we have to add one akara. Okay, akara. Asambhutya amritam ashnute. As a result of practicing asambhuti avyakrita meditate upasanam, prakriti upasanam, what does one have? You say amritam ashnute means one has prakriti layaha. As the result, what is prakriti layaha? We'll see that. Amritam ashnute. So amritam does not mean immortality or moksha. It is prakriti layaha. This word prakriti layaha, other Upanishads, elsewhere if you read, is upasanam, the highest result accomplishable as a result of an action is only Hiranyagarbha Loka Praptihi. Devaloka, attainment of Devaloka, attainment of Hiranyagarbha Loka. But only in this Upanishad it is mentioned Prakriti Layaha. Okay? Merging in Prakriti is called Prakriti Layaha. Remaining one with Prakriti. Remaining as resolved Prakriti. It's like longest to sleep. In fact, if you want to understand what is Prakriti Layaha, remaining in how you are in sleep. In sleep, you have Prakriti Laya, okay? But how long? Only few hours. And Parada Karma will wake you up next day. Get up. You can't sleep. Whereas, once you have Punyam, and you can be in sleep for long time. Not with the physical body. Without the physical body, okay? That's called Prakriti Layaha. Undisturbed, longest sleep. How to say how longest? You can be how you are in sleep. And once Punyam gets exhausted, you will be woken up. Come on, get up, go back. There is Prakriti Layaha. Is it clear? You will see that. We'll make it clear. Now, let us hear Shankara's commentary now. Sambhutincha Vinashancha. No, before I go there, I want to make a note. It is for people who learn Sanskrit. Some grammatical note. See, the word Sambhutihi, the first line of the mantra, does not have akaraha. And it is understood, it has to be understood. If you are chanting the Veda mantra, listen to me carefully. The mantra does not have akaraha, and the Shankaracharya tells us we have to add akaraha. How? We have to give some grammatical rule there. When we are chanting the mantras, are you all with me?
Yes.
Okay. When we are chanting the Veda mantras, continuously when you are chanting the mantras, then we won't break them. If we do not break them, we have to follow euphonic combinations. The previous mantra, what is the line? Vichachakshire, ekara is there. The final vowel sound of the preceding word is vichachakshire, a is there. And what is the following word here in this mantra? Sambhutihi, which means there must be one akaraha and denoted by avagraha, a sign known as avagraha. Akaraha, when it gets dropped, it must be denoted by a sign known as avagraha. It means akara is there, it is temporarily hidden. Why? Because of the sandhi rule. Yeng of padanta dati iti vyapani sutra. Yeng padanta dati. If a word ends with the final vowel, the final vowel of the word is ekaraha, and the following vowel is akaraha, and that akara gets dropped, means that akara is denoted by S sign called avagraha, which actually stands for akara. So what does it mean? There is akaraha. Even though akara is not seen, we must add akaraha. You don't need grammar, but I want to do it, okay? I have to tell you why akara is. Otherwise, how can it has two names are Hiranyagarbha's names? Sambhutihi is also name of Hiranyagarbha. Vinashaka is also name of Hiranyagarbha. But we need both names, Hiranyagarbha and Prakriti. Therefore, Asambhutihi. Is it clear? One. Again, the second line, if you see, Tirtva Sambhutyamrutam Ashnute.
So Vinashena also is Hiranyagarbha. Again Sambhuti, how you can say? It must be Asambhutihi. And Akara is not there. So what Shankaracharya is going to mention here, there also when two short vowels come together they become, they form one long vowel. Therefore if you break the mantra, there must be one Akaraha. Even after Tirtva also, Akara is not in the mantra, we have to add Akara. Asambhutya amritamashnute. Please note, see in your mantra, it is not Sambhutya amritamashnute, it must be Asambhutya amritamashnute. So, stating the grammatical rules, Shankaracharya helps us understand that we have to add short vowel akara in two places. Where the first line, the beginning of the word, asambhutihi. Before sambhuti, must add akara. The second line, sambhutya, there also you have to add akara. Just to convert sambhuti into asambhuti, meaning prakriti. Okay, it's extra information which really. Anyway. Because when suppose later on we hear, no information is left here. Whatever you need to know, nobody is going to come and ask you. Do you know Enga Padanta Dati, Akasavarne Dhirgaha? When two vowels come together, they must, have a long vowel. Why Akara is missing? So how Akara has come there? What is on, what is the root? On what basis you have added Akara there? Who is going to question you? Is that very important now? Isn't it? You all that you need is these two upasams produce independent results. But when they combine them, a person enjoys one, enjoys result. He enjoys results of both upasams successively. What is the result? That is what we are interested in. We are not interested in knowing all the grammatical rules, but still, I wanted to make it clear. Because it is very difficult when you are reading Bhashyam and all that, we have to give proper reasons how Akara is added. Okay, let's see the Bhashyam now. Now you understand what is Mrityu Taranam. Okay, I told you freedom from being a slave. One can become free from being the status of being a slave by having the status of being the lord. You must have overlordship to become free from enslavement. And having overlordship means having the mastery, isn't it? I said that. So Aishwarya Prapti Dwara Anaishwarya Nivrittihi is Mrityu Taranam. I explained that. We'll see that again in the Bhashya. Sambhutincha Vinashancha Yastadveda. You should say Asambhutincha Vinashancha Yastadveda Ubhayam Saha Vinashaha Dharma Yasya Karyasya Saha Tena Dharmina Abhedena Uchyate Vinashaha Iti. See, when Shankara Bhagavatpada started writing commentary on this verse, mantra, he says the person who practices these two meditations together, then he stopped. He doesn't explain anything much. What he says, in between, he wanted to explain why Hiranyagarbha is given the name Vinashaha. Vinashaha is a masculine noun which means destruction. Isn't it? Destruction means what? Becoming unmanifest. So why is Hiranyagarbha given this title? Because becoming unmanifest is the nature of Hiranyagarbha. Why does Hiranyagarbha become unmanifest? Because he becomes manifest. Hiranyagarbha has origination, therefore he must have resolution also. Anything which becomes manifest has to become unmanifest also. That is the order. Isn't it? And because Hiranyagarbha is subject to become unmanifest, it is said to be relatively, it's a relative destruction. Therefore, is meant Hiranyagarbha is given another name, Vinashaha. So Vinashaha is Dharma, attribute of Hiranyagarbha. So yes, Vinashaha Dharmaha Yasya Karyasya. Hiranyagarbha is an effect, product, manifestation. It's a manifestation. And Hiranyagarbha's nature is what? Becoming unmanifest. Therefore, Hiranyagarbha's attribute is Dharma. Becoming unmanifest is Hiranyagarbha's Dharma. For Dharmina Abhedena Uchyate Dharmaha. The very Dharma itself is used to mean a Dharmi. Is it clear? The very Dharma is used to mean a Dharmi. So Vinashaha, even though it means relative destruction in terms of becoming unmanifest, it actually denotes Hiranyagarbha. Okay, now let's go ahead with the next sentence. Tena tad tad upasanena anaishvaryam. Tena upasanena, tena, tat upasanena. So by practicing meditation on Hiranyagarbha or Hiranyagarbha upasanena, as a result of practicing Hiranyagarbha upasanam, what you can get? Anaishwariya praptihi, anaishwariyam. I already told you, it's not my own answer. So the word mrityuhu, overcoming mrityuhu, means freedom from anaishwaryam. So mrityuhu means anaishwaryam. One overcomes mrityuhu means one overcomes anaishwaryam. Enslavement. So what is it? Shankara explains beautifully what is Aneshwaryam. What does it mean by saying Aneshwaryam? Enslavement. Having the status of being a slave means what? Adharma,
Adharma.
Kamadi, Doshajatam. What is Aneshwaryam? Adharma, Kamadi, Dosha Jatam is equal to Aneshwaryam. What is enslavement? Here, not externally, there is no enslavement. Okay? But mentally, if you are not slave, you are not slave anywhere. When does a person become enslaved? When is Aneshwaryam? When do you feel bound by the limitations of powers? Anybody is bound by the limitations of powers, is not free from the limitations of powers, only when you are enslaved. What is enslavement? Aneshwaryam is equal to enslavement. What is enslavement? Being a slave. What is being a slave? Shankara says, beautiful meaning he gives. Adharma, kamadi, doshajatam. Adharma, kamadi, doshajatam. Adharmaha means you can understand. Isn't it? Performing one's actions. Whatever you do, if the actions one performs are not in conformity with the universal values, if the actions we perform transgresses the universal values, then it is adharma karma. It is adharma. It is non-righteousness, being unethical, being unright, non-righteous. Isn't it? What is adharma? If my actions, knowingly done action, inevitably, if my actions, my duties I perform, actions I do, if they transgress the universal values, if my actions go against dharma, they are adharma karma. Why adharma? Because any action which transgresses the universal value will disturb the universal order. It disturbs the universal order means we contribute for the disturbance in the world. We contribute for the disturbance in the world. Thereby, others become the victims of problems. So it results in hurt. Any wrong action will result in hurt. Therefore, there's a himsa comes. That's why ahimsa paramo dharmaha. Ahimsa paramo dharmaha. So non-hurting, non-wounding is the highest of the values. Exalt among the values. So all other values are followed only for the sake of following the value of ahimsa. Being truthful, not talking all the truths we know also, not lying, not cheating, not robbing, not usurping, not betraying, not hurting. All these values are followed ultimately in order not to hurt. But ahimsa is the highest of the values. So anything I do morally, physically, mentally, anything, any action, all my actions, one must be conscious of one's actions. If the actions rub against dharma, as I told you about this, then that is adharma. This adharma results in what? Accumulation of papam. Papam will get translated into experience of pain. Pain is a mental condition. We experience is a translation of papam you earned through actions which transgress dharma. Is it clear? So here we say, then he also explains kamadi. Adharma is one word. Then kamadi. We become bound by limitations of power. We lose our freedom from the limitations of power purely because of the papam we have earned as a result of our wrong actions. Next he says, kamadi. Kama means desire. Kamaha desire. Adi shabda stands for rest of the other emotions. Kamaha, krodhaha, anger. So kamaha stands for likes and dislikes. Krodhaha, anger. Lobaha, greed. Mohaha, delusion. Madaha, pride. Matsaryam, jealousy, envy. So all these are there, and all these emotions also, once if there is anger, we are not creating these emotions. They are naturally there. Once diseases are natural, likes and dislikes are natural, anger is natural, jealousy, hate also are natural, everything is natural. And when these are all there, you are not free. If your actions, when you perform actions, your actions are governed, the actions are dictated by your likes and dislikes. Your actions are, you know, compelled by your emotions. And your actions are not governed by your urge of right and wrong. You cannot, if you do not use your free will and urge of right and wrong, your actions are very mechanical. They are dictated by your likes and dislikes. Isn't it? When you are angry, you cannot do things correctly. Isn't it? When you are very jealous, then you cannot do things correctly. So all these disturbing emotions also, and your adharma actions also, when you have all of them helplessly, naturally, also, you are not free from the limitations of powers. You are bound by the limitations of power. Thoughts. And this, having the problem of being bound by the limitations of power, because of, okay, the bondage is born of, produced by these emotions and adharma karma phalam. How beautifully Shankara explains. What is aneshwaryam? What is enslavement? There is no, you are being a slave of your own mind is enslavement. Let me put it correctly. Aneshwarya means what? Being a slave of one's own mind. Being slave of one's own likes and dislikes. Being a slave of one's own emotions. Being a slave of one's own emotions in one's own mind, one's own likes and dislikes, desires, means not being able to manage them. You must manage them, you must have mastery over them. If you do not have mastery over them, if you cannot manage them, you helplessly you will be their slave. Only one way, okay? We have to understand this fact. We are not creating, producing our emotions. Isn't it? We are not creating anything here. Naturally, anger, desire, likes and dislikes, jealousy, hatred, anger, all of them are naturally there. We are not creating anything here. But we cannot undo them. We are not creating them. We cannot undo them also. We cannot destroy them, oppress them, of, no, get rid of them, but they are there. So what should we do with them? We must manage them. If we do not manage them, we can only manage them, we cannot undo them. We have to how long should I manage? Until I get jnanam. In jnanam, they will be resolved for good. Until jnanam, I have to manage. Okay. That's why living a life of karma yoga is always, in Bhagavad Gita, it is taught very well, beautifully. How to manage your emotions, how to manage your thoughts. Now you understand why Bhagavad Gita is the sara of Upanishads. You make it very, it sounds very complicated here. Mrityu taranam, aneshwaryam. To understand what is aneshwaryam here, that is very simple. How to have shamaha dhamaha? How to have mastery over your own mind? How to have mastery over your emotions? Shastra makes it very clear, don't worry, until jnanam, it's impossible to resolve them. Only in jnanam they can be resolved for good. Then you don't need to resolve. Why? In jnanam they will be resolved naturally. This is called absolute purity. In jnanam you have absolute purity. But until jnanam takes place, you have to handle them. You have to manage them. How can you manage them? Only by living consciously a life of dharma, using your free will, using your urge of right and wrong. It's called living a life of karma yoga. That is what is day for. Okay? Those days it is said here, it is called mrityu taranam. So when you are able to manage your emotions by living a life of dharma consciously, using your willpower and using your knowledge of right and wrong, you have relative mastery over emotions. In jnanam, you will have absolute mastery. Once you have mastery means you are not their slaves. You are free from enslavement. That's why when you follow dharma, you are free relatively. In jnanam, you are absolutely free. Isn't it? Otherwise what will happen? If you do not manage them, you will be enslaved by them. Better you become a manager, otherwise they will manage you. And that's where you become a slave. If you are managed by them, means you are their slave. And it's being slave of your mind, being slave of your emotions. Okay? Is said to be here what? Anaishwaryam. I got it. And Anaishwaryam, okay, that's called it. That Anaishwaryam is meant by the word mrityu in this context. Look at this. If you go and search for the meaning of the word mrityu in your Sanskrit dictionary, you will get the meaning what? Death. You will not get this meaning Anaishwaryam there. You need Adishankara Bhagavatpada's commentary for that. In Karma Kanda, in Upasana connections, in the context of Upasana, the word mrityu means what? You can't find that meaning in dictionary. Mrityu means Anaishwaryam, enslavement. Okay? Enslavement means not being able to manage his emotions and thoughts. And being able to manage one's thoughts, how can you manage? Only if you live consciously, live a life of dharma. It's called karma yoga, way of life called karma yoga. So here it is said, if a person is seriously given to the practice of meditation, what meditation here? Hiranyagarbha Upasana. As prescribed in the Upasana Kanda of the Veda, how it should be practiced. What is Hiranyagarbha Upasana? So in keeping with the instructions given in the Upasana Kanda, if a person practices Hiranyagarbha Upasana together with the Prakriti Upasana, and as a result of Hiranyagarbha Upasana, he will overcome slavery. He'll overcome enslavement. It is called freedom from Anaishwaryam, which is called Aishwarya Praptihi, attainment of lordship. Attainment of lordship means what? Having the mastery over, you have mastery over one's own ways of thinking, one's thoughts, one's emotions. Okay? This is Aishwarya Praptihi. And it's not simply said that you will have Aishwarya Praptihi. Hiranyagarbha, this even if you live your daily, regularly, all your duties consciously in conformity with dharma, you will have this Aishwarya Prapti. But Shankaracharya adds a big result also. If you specifically practice this meditation, you will have Ashtamaha Siddhayaha. Isn't it? So you will have Ashtamaha Siddhis. is called Aishwarya Praptihi. See, being endowed with all powers is what? Being a powerful person means you are not weak. You are not weak means you are not a slave. Is it clear? I think I made it very clear.
Yes.
Have I?
Yes.
Okay. Vinashena Mrityutaranam. And now next. So, Upasthadupasanena Aishwaryam. Anaishwaryam. Sorry. Tadupasanena. Anaishwaryam. What is Anaishwaryam? Shankara explains. Adharma. Kamadi. Doshajatam. Is Anaishwaryam. Enslavement. Cha. Mrityum tirtva. Having become free from the bondage of enslavement. Hiranyagarbha Upasanena Aptihi Hi Animali Praptihi Phalam. So Hiranyagarbha Upasana blesses a person with attainment of Ashtamaha Siddhis, Eightfold Occult Powers. Tena. As a result of attainment of, accomplishment of those Ashtamaha Siddhis, Aishwaryadi, Mrityum, Atitya, Tena, Anaishwaryadi, must be Tena, Anaishwaryadi Mrityum Atitya. Thereby, having attained the wealth of Eightfold Occult Powers, Attamaha Siddhis, this person becomes, he overcomes Anaishwaryam. Tena Anaishwaryadi Mrityum Atitya. He overcomes the problem of Anaishwaryam. As then, having discussed so much for Hiranyagarbha Upasanam, he quickly finishes one line, he finishes his commentary on Asambhuti Upasanam. Look at this. Asambhutya Avyakrita Upasanaya. Asambhutya means what? Avyakrita Upasanaya. But as a result of meditation upon Prakriti, Amritam, Prakriti Laya Lakshanam, Ashnute. So he attains Prakriti Layaha. Prakriti Layaha means remaining resolved as Prakriti. Prakriti Layaha means what? Remaining resolved as Prakritihi is the Prakriti Layaha, which is the result accomplishable for the practice, the Upasanam, Asambhuti Upasanam or Avyakrita or Prakriti Upasanam. So Prakriti Upasanam will bless you with what? Prakriti Layaha. Prakriti Upasanam will bless you with Prakriti Layaha. Hiranyagarbha Upasanam will bless you with Aishwarya Praptihi, attainment of Eightfold Ashtamaha Siddhis. Plus, attainment of Ashtamaha Siddhis means attainment of Aishwaryam Overlordship. Attainment of Overlordship implies freedom from enslavement in terms of your own mind. I have made it very clear. Nice, isn't it? Nice to know the results. Okay. சம்போதிம்ச
விநாசஞ்ச
இத்யத்ர அவர்ணலோபேன நிர்தேசஹ த்ரஷ்டவ்யஹ. பிரகிருதி லய பலஸ்ருதி அனுரோதாத். See, last towards the law. See, the information which must have been given in the very beginning, Shankara gives, mentions in his concluding line. When he concludes his commentary on the 14th mantra, he mentions this, which must have been mentioned in the very beginning of the commentary. Why? Sometimes he wants to keep it for the last, whether we are thinking or not, to see that, isn't it? Now he says, Sambhutim cha vinashan cha. The first line, both names are Hiranyagarbha's names. There is no mention of Prakriti's name. Therefore, to have one name, Prakriti's name, one name Hiranyagarbha's name, we have to add Akara. So that's what he says. Sambhutim cha vinasham cha ityatra. In the place of the mention of Sambhutihi and Vinashaha, avarna lopena. That avarna means akara. The letter A is dropped. Is it? The letter A is not there. Nirdeshaha drashtavyaha. Mention in this mantra has to be understood. It means, how do you know akara should be added? He says, prakriti laya palashruti anurodhat. See, when there is a mention of the result of prakriti upasanam, there must be upasanam. Without practicing prakriti upasanam, how can there be result of prakriti upasanam? The mantra prakriti upasana result is mentioned. Prakriti upasana, meditation on prakriti, the result of practicing meditation on prakriti is mentioned in terms of prakriti layaha. The result is mentioned, upasana also must be mentioned. Upasana has been mentioned means prakriti's name must be mentioned. Therefore, akaraha should be added. And convert that word sambhutihi into asambhutihi. Then everything is perfect. The whole mantra be perfect, can be understood correctly, it can be, isn't it? Then we can understand what Shankara Bhagavatpada or the Upanishad wants to convey. Is it clear? So, meditation contributes for mental preparation for knowledge. Meditation contributes for mental purification, mental steadiness. Thereby mind becomes qualified for the attainment of jnanam, which itself is moksha. That we always study, isn't it? So if a person is interested only in loka prapti, only I want to attain lokas, he has interest in jnanam or moksha, then it becomes a kamya karma. Upasanam, same upasanam becomes a kamya karma. I want to practice this upasanam, Hiranyagarbha upasanam, because I am interested in attaining Devaloka. I want to enjoy the benefits of going to Devaloka. I want to have those pleasures. A person's interest is only in Loka Praptihi, attainment of the Loka and heavenly pleasures, and he is not interested in Jnanam or Moksha, it becomes a Kamya Karma. Upasanam becomes a Kamya Karma. Suppose, if a person is interested in moksha and jnanam, is a spiritual pursuit, but he practices this upasanam for antakarna shuddhi to prepare his mind for jnanam, this upasanam becomes, is not a kamya karma, it becomes karma yoga. then it becomes a Nishkama Upasanam. When does Upasanam becomes Nishkama Upasanam? Same Upasanam only. Nishkama Upasana means practice of meditation without being dependent on the result for one's happiness or security. It's called Nishkama Upasana. Sakama Upasana means practice of meditation being dependent on the result of action for one's happiness and security. For the enjoy, one's own follow. As I told you many times, nobody can perform anything without expecting the result. And nowhere in Shastra it is said, do things without expecting the result. No. How can you do anything without expecting the result? So, whoever does anything, does it expecting the result for the result only. But as a karma yogi, you know, you expect the result, at the same time you are prepared to accept whatever comes in life because of your attitude of being able to look at everything as prasada. Same upasanam can be sakama upasanam if the end is I want to go to Devaloka, I want to enjoy heavenly pleasures, I want to practice this, I want Ashtamahasiddhis. That is the end. Having that as a goal, if a person practices, it becomes Sakama Upasanam. Definitely, he will be blessed with the result, what he wants, when he puts in appropriate, adequate efforts with seeking Bhagavan's grace. Suppose a person practices this for the sake of preparing the mind for Jnana, the same Upasanam becomes, he will definitely enjoy the benefits also. At the same time, it also this practice will also will contribute for mental preparation. Then it becomes Nishkama Upasanam. So also rituals. Sakama Karma, Nishkama Karma. In performance there is no difference. In attitude there is a difference. What is the ultimate goal, that makes the difference. So without expecting result, performing something is not practical, not possible. That does not make your karma or upasanam nishkama upasanam or nishkama karma at all. Having the moksha as the ultimate goal, jnanam as the ultimate goal, keeping all everything you do, keeping your mind, preparing your mind for jnanam, always my focus is on how should I prepare my mind for jnana. That is there, then becomes Nishkama Upasana, Nishkama Karma. Okay. Now, so tena anaishwaryadi amrityum atitya asambhutya avyakrita upasanaya amritam prakritilaya lakshanam ashnute. Means as a result of practicing asambhuti or prakriti upasanam, one accomplishes the result of prakriti layaha. Remaining resolved as prakriti is prakriti layaha. That's the benefit. We'll understand more about it later on. But with this, what happened now? The next topic of upasana dvaya samuchayaha. Combination of two upasanams is over. A lost topic is there in Ishavasyam, which is going to be Gati Prarthana, which we'll come back and see tomorrow morning. Okay, Gati Prarthana. I think things are becoming clearer, aren't they? Good. The topic, I was thinking, I must have finished it in the morning itself. The whole 1.5 hours, the whole session has gone today. That's okay, isn't it? some grammatical aspects and all you don't need, but I told in case tomorrow sometime you are going to learn Sanskrit. Why in case? You will learn. And then that time it will be useful for you. People, somebody is going to come listen to the recordings. And why Swamiji, she taught Ishavas Upanishad here in Bahamas, in Assam, and she has not mentioned this important information, she has not given, isn't it? So I'm, suppose somebody listens, they should know. Not only for them, it's also it's a proper way of doing everything. Prashnaha. Questions. Kasya prashna asti. Who has question? Rukmaniji has a question.
You mentioned that nowadays there are substitutes for these upasanas and karmas. So what would be the substitute for the prakriti upasana and also for the combination of anirama and prakriti?
Yeah. See, for all these Vaidika upasanas, not only for independent upasana or samuchya upasana, no, samuchya, for all these, for all the rituals, we have our present day substitute. The pujas which we do, I told you, different forms of worship, the cultural forms are different, but the spirit behind the form is the same, so you are not missing any result. Second thing, when we have understood, I explained when I unfolded the second mantra of this Upanishad, I elaborately discussed Karma Yoga with reference to Bhagavad Gita, and that's all. So we are living a life of Karma Yoga, one thing. And second thing, Upasanam, here being upasana implies here being religious. When I say living a life of karma yoga means you are spiritual, you are religious, you are also ethical. Isn't it? A person who is ethical need not be religious. May not be religious. A religious person need not be ethical, may be ethical, may not be ethical, may not be spiritual also. But a spiritual person is definitely religious and definitely ethical. Okay? And what makes a person a spiritual person who is ethical and religious? A person who lives a life of karma yoga. Okay? So, the worship we do, being prayerful and worshipful. And you have certain mantra, Manasa Japaha, which you are doing here. And you all are given to certain meditation practices. There are substitutes for those meditations. You don't need to worry about it. And the second thing, when you are interested in Jnanam, the end is very clear. 100% you are clear about your end. And end is Moksha, end is Jnanam, because end is already, it's very clear, it's a choiceless end. Jnanam is the only means, and for which you need to go through discipline of Jnana Yoga, which is you are doing Shravanam. And also to prepare your mind, you're also living a life of Karma Yoga. You take care of it, isn't it? So whatever Mrittu, ultimately what you need is relative mastery over your mind. Freedom from enslavement, which is real Mrittu Taranam. Absolute Mrittu Taranam, becoming victorious over death. Attainment of immortality means attainment of the knowledge of self being already immortal. Isn't it? The freedom from bondage of karma, bondage of death happens, which is absolute mrityu taranam, which will happen only in jnanam. Isn't it? Until then, you have to have relative mastery, relative mrityu taranam, which is not being a slave of your mind, for which living a life of karma yoga is the only way. what you can accomplish by practicing Sambhuti Upasanam or Hiranyagarbha Upasanam, you can easily accomplish by living a life of Karma Yoga. Satyam. It says Satyam, it's a fact. Only thing is, you cannot accomplish Atta Mahasiddhayaha. Understand what I'm saying? Atta Mahasiddhis may not be possible. Definitely you will have relative mastery over your mind. That's called Mrityuttaranam. So Shankara Bhagavatpada mentions here, Adharma Kama Kamadi Dosha Jatam Anaishwaryam. Enslavement. So living a life of Karma Yoga is the best way of becoming master of your own mind. So substitute means whatever you are practicing now is a substitute. And second thing, I tell you one thing. When you do Shravanam, Shravanam repeatedly, more and more and more you listen, Shravanam itself will become Mananam. It will help you resolve your doubts. When listening for some time, doubts may not even rise now. The more you listen, doubts may rise, the rise, doubts also will resolve. And Shravanam itself will become what? After some time, will become Vinidhyasana. You become contemplations. So when you are contemplative, what else you need? When you are contemplative, and you always have vastu darshanam. You always have a vision of the truth. Being contemplative means being in meditation, not doing meditation. Isn't it? Then don't need anything else. That is success. This is mastery. So substitute for, you don't need to look for these substitutes. They're all mentioned there. By studying all these things, you understand this is what Hiranyagarbha Upasanam can give me. This is what it can give me. That I can accomplish just by living worshipful, prayerful, sincere life of Karma Yoga in conformity with Dharma. You see, you are spiritual. You're studying Shastram not as an intellectual exercise or an academic pursuit. It is a spiritual pursuit because you are very clear what you are seeking. Of course, you are committed to live a life of values, Dharma. And you are prayerful, you are seeking always Bhagavan's grace to be able to live a life of Dharma. You are thankful to Bhagavan for all that you are blessed with. What else you want? You are a wonderful human being. With all this. This study, understand, we are already, what we are taking care of, what is the important thing that you should take care of? Anaishwaryam, enslavement. Okay, enslavement, being bound by limitations of the mental issues, the emotions, problems. I think I have answered your question, have I?
Yes.
I feel satisfied with what I am doing. I must ask you people, are you all satisfied? Isn't it? I have doubtlessly, I am satisfied with what I am doing. But unless it results in your clarity, there is no point. I am very happy to repeat to answer. You may find it slightly dirty because you have listened a lot of Sanskrit. That's all. Otherwise, whatever has to be told, very little you gather because a lot of Sanskrit reading. Is it alright? Any other question? Shadvadanam, Sayankale, Shadvadanam, Samyaha. Okay.
Swamiji, the Upanishad teaches us about the combination of karma and upasana. So my question is, are the karmas that are mentioned in the Upanishad the same karmas that are described in the karma kanda of the Vedas? And are there any upasanas at all in the karma kanda portion?
Yeah, see, to be frank, karma, upasana, kandas together can be taken as karma kanda. Even though we say separate them, basically upasana is a mental activity. Karma involves mind, body and speech. So generally it's all karma, pravrityatmakam, shastram. Karma and upasana, both kanda sections together constitute pravrityatmakam, shastram. So the karma means the Vedic ritual where you kindle fire and invoke the grace of a given deity, devata, offering oblations. It is a Vedic form of worship, isn't it? And is performed as an expression of thankfulness to Bhagavan. Sometimes it is also performed as a prayer for specific results. Also it's performed. That's why I say we have Kamya Karma, Prayaschitta Karma, Vihitam Karma, Nitya Karma. I mean, they have given different names also. It doesn't matter. Okay? There's no, whatever is prescribed here is the, as we have substituted for all that worship in our day-to-day life. Apart from that, we say, as an individual, whatever duties you have, every individual has one's own duties in playing different roles. And see that all those duties are performed in conformity with dharma. That's what I said in class. Have you answered? Not it? Make your question clearer a little bit.
I don't know how to make it clear.
I can put the question again.
The rituals or the karmas that are prescribed in the karma kanda, are they the same karmas which are mentioned in the Upanishads as karmas that have to be combined with upasanas in order to gain a different result?
Yes, when I say Veda, Upanishads are also part of the Veda. When Upanishad talks about the karma, Upanishad talks about the karmas mentioned in the karma kanda. Actually, Upanishad does not teach you how to perform a ritual. What ritual should be performed for what? The know-how of rituals is not discussed in the jnana kanda, but the names of rituals are prescribed. Names of rituals, names of meditations are mentioned in the karma kanda, upasana, Upanishads. Why? For us to know, understand the limitations of the results of meditations and the rituals. They will not talk about the limitations of rituals and upasana there. There they will glorify rituals and meditations. Because the idea is to make people perform. Here it is for the person who is spiritually inclined, who is mentally prepared. Jnana adhikritasya, isn't it? In Upanishads, just they are mentioned, that's all. That's why there is no elaboration on these things. How to perform, how to meditate, it is not discussed. What is the meditation? What is the karma? You perform, you combine it, or independently perform it, practice it. What will you get? What will be the result? That's all discussed. But how to do it, why those things are not discussed here? They're all prescribed in the karma kanda. Karma kanda information is brought in here in between. It's little information. The know-how is not described here. Suppose we go to that portion, They will say what Hiranyagarbha stands for, what Prakriti means, and how what is the Upasana, how one should meditate on, how to practice this Upasana, isn't it? And what are the problems you have in practicing, or what is this particular ritual? As Agnihotra means what? How it should be performed? If we don't perform it properly, what will be ill effects? Everything will be all about know-how of rituals, elaborately discussed in Karmakanda. That's why voluminous portion. Jnanakanda is only small, tiny little portion. But this is what is wanted for us. I tell you one thing, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna makes it very clear. The Veda is so huge, four Vedas. Even if we cannot study all four Vedas, even if we don't study all four Vedas, okay, just by studying the Upanishads alone, by understanding the contents of Upanishads, you can enjoy the benefit of studying the entire Veda. And why should we break our heads? Isn't it? Sarvopanishado gavo dugdha gopalanandanaha partho vatsa sudhir bhokta dugdham gita amrutam mahat. Bhagavad Gita is a nectar milk from the Upanishad cows. When you got milk, why do you want to look after cows? He says, isn't it? Which means Upanishads themselves, understanding the contents of Upanishads is enough. By understanding the contents of Upanishad, by having the clear vision of the Upanishads, you have accomplished the absolute result, what should be accomplished by studying the entire Veda. Samagrasya Vedasya Adhyanena Yatpalam Praptavyam Tatpalam Prapyate Upanishadam Patanena Avagamanena. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.